I couldn't do what I needed to do, even though it was practiced and it worked. When it came to us working together, there was a problem. And I had to leave, essentially, and go and fix this issue so that when I came back, it worked. And it is a little bit like making disciples. I'll bring the analogy closer. But my guitar, for me and my guitar to be able to work together, even though I'm ministering to it, I need to know what to press, and the guitar needs to be in tune to make a noise that is applicable. And sometimes when it comes to discipleship, our heart or our desire can be like the guitar. We can read God's word and say, okay, Petri, I know the chords. But if our guitar isn't in tune, if what we apply isn't in tune, isn't in line with God's word, it's not going to make music. There's not going to be a pleasant sound coming from it. And this threw everything completely aside with regards to what I wanted to start with. But I'm going to speak about something that is very dear to my heart, discipleship. It is a truth that God has established in me for the past 5 years since being part of this church. And through this whole process of 5 years, He has shown me what does not work, or I've experienced what does not work, and He has also shown me how to do it. And I felt, it's just on my heart, that I want to share this, just a very basic scripture that Jesus shared, or in Matthew, that essentially sets up this environment where we are able to disciple. Because we are all disciplers. You either make good disciples or bad disciples. That's, any parent would know that. Like I yesterday saw my kid Elaine, it's because a person, but I saw her responding to the phone in a very similar way I do when things don't work. And it's very sobering when you see that you've already imparted. Elaine is 2.5 years old. I've already established ungodly behavior in her. Whether it was by choice, it doesn't matter. I've done that. That is my work that I need to take hold of and say, God, I repent. Please help me. Please give me the tools to equip her better, or to fix this, which I've already see can lead to destructive behavior later. So, let's go to the first verse, or the only verse I'm going to discuss, pretty much. It's the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And it sets the scene where Jesus has called His disciples, and He is on His way to heaven. Just go next, just by... Well, it's magic. Anyway, so I'm just going to read it for us. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, in that first three verses, we see, almost in my mind, a requirement for becoming a disciple, or disciple maker, essentially. And the whole analogy I initially got when I prepared the sermon was, I was going to use taxi drivers. But anyway, why are taxi drivers bad? Because they don't follow the rules. Anyway, so that kind of flew out when the guitar broke. But the same for the requirements for, the reason why I use taxi drivers is, there's requirements we need to fulfill to be able to drive. The same requirements can almost be applied to disciple making. And the requirements for a driver's license, who knows what's the requirements for a driver license? Okay, you need to be 18, that's minimum. You need to have an eye test, and you need to have a learner's license. Those are the basic, if you don't have that, have those three, you can't become, you can't get a driver's license. So that's just not, so those three are the requirements to become, to have a driver's license. Anyway, and as the requirements, as you need the requirements for a driver's license, so there are requirements to become a disciple of Jesus. And the first requirement to become a disciple of Jesus is you need to be a believer. The men that followed God, or followed Jesus for those 3 years, believed that he would be there where he said he would be. There was a relationship that was already established between his followers and himself, Jesus. So they, or we know it now as just giving our heart to Jesus, but they already believed him prior to him going up and actually assigning them this work. And the baptism is a requirement, not essentially for them at that place, but for us to make disciples, we must be disciples. I know it's a bit of a weird analogy, but we make disciples by baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ, or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But for us to baptize them, we already have to be baptized. You can't, like Demi said, you can't give something which you have not received yet. I can't baptize somebody if I haven't been baptized. What am I believing then? Am I applying scripture just blindly? Or do I truly believe the word that says you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So baptism for me is a requirement for proper discipleship. It is the truth of God being revealed to you when you are obedient in this action of being baptized. And then your learners. Now, the learner's license I just put there is correctly applying scripture in your daily life and seeing the fruit of Christ's teaching, voice, and example grow. As we see, the reason why that is important, as you are prior to going for that big test of getting your driver's license, you don't just do the K53, and know the theory. You are required actually to do a number of tests. Actually, you go sit next to somebody that has driven before, somebody that can impart what he already knows, teaching you what is the rules, what to do, what is the right thing to do, have you checked your rear view mirror, have you applied, or teaching you what to apply in different circumstances. And that is, in a sense, is we need maturity to be a proper disciple maker. There needs to be a process of growth. If you look at Jesus' disciples, there was a 3-year impartation of intimate knowledge of Christ. They lived with Christ. They gave up everything so that whatever Christ had, he transferred to them. They weren't just, okay, well, you know me, now go. There was a complete understanding of who Christ is. How does Christ live? We have to just look at when you look at the disciples themselves, you have a tax collector which were despised by the Jews. Like literally these guys were in cahoots with the Roman government. So the Jews didn't want anything to do with paying tax because they wanted to be free. That's the main hope they had that Jesus would come and do, to bring them free, to establish the Jewish kingdom apart from the Romans. So you have a tax collector, you have a zealot, Simon the Zealot. Those were they called the first terrorists. These guys went like sect. They were involved in attacks on the Roman government. So you have a vast array of people that Jesus chose. You have fishermen, unlearned people, but these were people that Jesus chose, 12 of them, and say, I will live with you. I will grow. I will teach you. I will disciple you in the truth for 3 years. And then he sent them. So in my mind, the reason why I can attest to a bit of maturity is needed because back in the day, Rob and I don't know if you know Rob, but he was in the church, and we decided, well, we needed some discipling. But we had no disciples, so let's disciple ourselves. So we got a book, 40 Dagen met Jesus, or Wandel met Christus. It's a book that C.S. wrote, and literally we go, there's the foundational truths of Christianity is being discussed with scripture, and it's great. Literally, it's a place to focus us. But so often, because we weren't seeing or we weren't applying scripture in our life, it became like a off-box sessie. Literally, we would just say, oh, this God, why isn't God bringing deliverance in this? Why is there still sexual sin in my life? Why is there... It literally just became a place where we moaned and then said, okay, we need to apply this. We moaned, and now we need to apply this. And nothing changed. Our lives didn't change because the Word of God didn't take hold of our hearts. And we had all these great aspirations to disciple, to learn to become a disciple maker. But nothing changed. After all that time when we met, it was Petri was still Petri and Rob was still Rob. And being a disciple maker is a place of applying the truths. And that is the question we need to ask ourselves. Petri, am I applying all truths? Or do I read the ones that are just very comfortable to me? And when it comes to money or giving more than my tithe, I'll rather wait on that one. I'll go into baptism, or I'll go into other areas that doesn't require of me. And that is what we need to ask ourselves. What parts of Scripture, what truth are we not applying in our lives? Because God wants us to bear fruit in season and out of season. There needs to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things must be evident as we apply Scripture in our life. The only reason those things become evident is Scripture challenges what we know, what we experience, what we feel. Those emotions that Retief spoke about, the desires, the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts. Scripture comes and changes that. We don't change that. We aren't smart enough to change our own mind. God changes our heart, and when we receive that, we follow with it. Our mind follows what our heart believes. The words that I so often, I think it was early last year, there was another issue, or there was an issue in the band, which I had to resolve. And Ratif was encouraging me, and I told him, the voices in my head has been ministering much longer and much more efficiently than you in this past 5 minutes. And it's a place of, I know what he says is true, but what I believe and what I hear is two different things, because I haven't taken hold of that truth. I choose to believe my truth. I choose to believe what was already established in my heart. And therefore, I want to encourage you, if you are not seeing the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of responding to Christ in a way where you are being challenged, where that Word of God is being made flesh, then you have to ask God, why am I apathetic to your Word? If nothing changes, do I really serve you? Whose kingdom am I in? Am I seeking you first, or am I seeking myself first? And then I say, God, okay, apply what I have left. God, I want to go on this weekend. I want to go to my parents. This weekend, I want to go on this. I want to visit these people. I have every second Wednesday to give you, and every second Sunday. How do you want me to use your? Please use my Sundays and my Wednesdays that I've given you. Or do we say, God, what is important to you? Take my days and tell me how to live my life. Take what I have. Take my finances. Before I tithe, before I give, would we be willing to ask God, what do you want to do with what you've given me? Like Demi said, we can't give without receiving, so we receive everything from God if we believe that. But are we willing to say, God, first have your way, and I know what you'll leave me with will be enough? Do we trust God enough to do that? And those are key areas, like just a normal daily life, your time, your finances, sex. Who decides what your view on sex is? Is it God, or is it the media? Are we willing to look at my wife and say, okay, what do you see? How do I need to invest on my wife? Or does my wife need to be the things that I want it to be? God showed me earlier this year, gave me a word, access. And I said, no, it can be applied to many things, but for me specifically, I wanted to have access to my wife's heart. I thought, what's the good thing? Well, writing a letter to my wife every week or 2 weeks, son, it kind of does it for me, for my wife. It brings joy to her heart. When I left on MTP, I left little notes. The kids found one yesterday. She couldn't find all of them because it seems I put it in shoes she won't wear in the summertime. Now, I did not know those things. But I did try. I really said, Lord, I want access to my wife's heart. And those are the things that my wife appreciates. Little notes. Making a little heart in cheese. It's weird, but those are the things that I know will make my wife respond to me. Do we desire to have that with Christ? What would please him? Would we ask him to have access to all of us? Or just to the comfortable parts? The ones that serve me? You just go on, please. I just want to look at those first three verses of the Great Commission. Those are the three things that really established in my heart with regards to Jesus' disciples. They believed that he would be on the mountain where he said he would be. They were there together. There was unity, and in that place of unity, there were obedience. And even though some of them doubted Thomas, it didn't defer, it didn't change his mind. Our doubt is meant to draw us to Christ. Like I'm trusting the Lord at the moment to do miracles through me, or do healings and miracles. I want to see people healed. So then, okay, do I see sick people? No. So now I need to find sick people. So I go on, over my lunchtime, I walk around in Woodstock and find sick people and look for them and pray for them. And it's weird because not all of them get healed. But Lord established in my heart, he said, come to me. If they don't get healed, come and speak to me. Ask me why. Ask me what happened. My heart is to want to do what God says. But if things aren't as they appear to be, if my guitar isn't working, come and find out why. It's not just, things don't just happen for the sake of happening. There is purpose in everything. Your suffering, the fact that you feel it's November, it feels like November, but it's only February. There is purpose in that. There is value when you come to God and say, why am I so tired, Lord? Show me. What am I doing in my own strength? And verse 17, it is, when they saw Jesus on the mountain, it said first, they worshipped him. They knew the reason they are there was worship. It is the first response in seeing Christ. The first response my wife experienced when she saw that little note was a place of pleasure. Yes, my husband loves me. He thinks about me. When they came to the mountain, they saw Jesus. Worship. This is why we are here. He has called me. I've obeyed him. I want to worship him. I want to ascribe worth to this king. And then verse 18, the scripture says, all authority has been given to me. So Jesus makes it clear to them in that place of worship, and that we need to take into account 3 years of walking with Jesus. This wasn't just anybody that Jesus picked. Like, the people that were there walked a road with him. They had their learner's license. They had confidence in Christ sending them out and seeing the things that God set them to do will happen. They already had their learner's license. They already had their practice. They were equipped to do what God's going to ask of them now. And the more, I think the more that they, like those little quirks, I think especially different fathers. I remember my dad taught me in his Honda, like this, that round shape Honda to drive. So power steering was amazing. You didn't have to like struggle. But my father is very much on saving anything, or my father and my mother. So no acceleration. Don't be too hard on the throttle. Just, it's all about that, the place of letting the clutch go. Not too much petrol, Pietri. Not too much petrol. That's something my father established. It's not something, and I still drive like an old person, if I can say that, today. But it's something that is just there. My father as he taught me, as he saw my confidence grew in teaching me to drive, that took hold of me. I didn't choose it. It was just something that was imparted to me. And now I do it. He discipled me to drive like somebody that's an older gem. Anyway, luckily I don't worry too much about cars. So those three verses for me is the requirements that was necessary for Jesus to say, now go be disciple makers. Those three things we see there. And the question we have to ask is, where am I on that? Where is my obedience? When I see Jesus, am I there to ask him questions, or is it a place of worship? Like Demi saying, you're good, you're good, you're good. Is his goodness the main focus, or is my shopping list the main focus? And then verse 19. Let's go to the next verse. Just stay there. Therefore go into and make disciples, or go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. So here God is commissioning, saying, because of these things that you have done, because you have been equipped, you can now drive on your own. I have skilled you. You have gained confidence, and you have now received your driver's license in the sense. And like, I don't want to paint the picture of God is not there anymore, but we have to remember that everything they are, everything they know about themselves, God has changed. Jesus has changed the way they think, the way they respond, the way they speak, the way they act. When, it's Peter, when his end came near, they said he ran to his cross. He was going to be crucified, and he ran to his cross. God, Jesus changes our hearts. But it's a process. It's a place of sanctification. And the main thing that we can do is, like, hopefully I don't teach my kids to drive like old people as well, but we impart what God gives us. And we also impart what God did not give us if we do not subject that to God. When Elaine gets angry with my phone, that is mine. That is what I imparted through my actions. So the more our confidence was established in our learnership, the better we were able to disciple people. And I'm breaking down the word drive as the key phrase, as what I really believe. There's the five areas. You can go to the first one. Is these five things, it's not a complete list, but I recognize that those are the things that changed my heart, that helped me disciple my brother to a place where yesterday I could baptize him. It is a moment of a sobering moment where you know that there's nothing I did in my strength that accomplished that. But he came to that realization that yes, I want to do that, because that's what obedience requires. He saw what the word said. It took almost a year that we've been just seeing each other. But in that process, he came to a place where I challenged him on three things, and he went to Scripture, And Scripture convinced him. It said, yes, his heart agreed with Scripture. I didn't have to convince him, no, you must be baptized. Now, Scripture did that. And my brother is just one of a few people that I'm seeing at the moment. Like, I meet my brother. There's a number of people that I meet on a day, on a weekly basis that I have different relationships with. Brett is a guy that works in that same area. Like, it's weird, but I initially met him by asking if he wanted to have lunch with me. Anyway, because, and I think at the end of last year, he told me, are you like a mind reader? Because the time I didn't have money, we had a men's Monday. We all, Retief said, bring money, we're going to Spur, it's going to be awesome. So we bring money. AB shared a scripture of how God's used his first fruits. We just applied that principle and God just grew his business. And Retief is like, yes, that's actually what I want to do. I want to bless all of you. So keep your money. So I said, Wimpy, I want your money as well, because you left. And Wimpy said, okay. So because at that moment I felt, okay, I want to bless Brett. I don't know why, but I feel this money must go to him. So I gave him the money that time. And there was another instance where I shared something and he told me, when I needed money, when I had nothing, because at that time, like, he lost his job. Boss fired him, he didn't have any money to buy train tickets, and that was enough money for train tickets for the rest of the week until he got paid again. When he didn't have food, I invited him, without knowing, I invited him in. He was like, how do you know these things? And it's a different road I walk with Brett, because there's a lot of things that's still broken, but he is, on Wednesday, he allowed me to speak words of identity, of who he is. Because he believes a lot of nonsense. A lot. But he told me afterwards, Peter, you care about me. I've never been to his house. I see him once or twice a week. But he knows that I care about him because of what God has done in my heart. The things I respond to is fruit to him, that I care about him. And that is why I feel desire. Like when Chris said on last Sunday, is there somebody that we want stand up that has got those rooms that are not open to Christ yet? Who are they? Let's stand up and bring them before God. Do you know how many times I brought my brother before Christ? I had such a desire that he must come to the knowledge of Christ. So often I've prayed to God that he will come, that he will see you. When I think about Brett, it is, God, where there's been such a lot of devastation by the father wound, the things that his mother did and said to him, the lies that he believed about himself, the fact that he has to be, his identity is set in what he does, the money he makes, how he compares to the rest of his family. I have such desire that his identity will be seen in Christ. I pray into that. I've got so many prayer lists, but those are like, there's key areas that before I go to him, I've already prayed in my heart. So Lord, this is my desire for bread. I want him to come to the knowledge of you. And that is why I think myself and Rob's thing didn't really work that well. Our desire wasn't that each one of us would come to Christ, or it was an immature knowledge of Christ that we have. And we thought, well, let's do the disciple thingy and they meet together. So I could have tried and played, but it wouldn't have worked. I was out of key. I needed to go in great confidence tune my guitar. So when I came back, my desire was to still play with Demi. That's for me is the key thing. We have to pray for the people we want to disciple. Like, I know mothers pray for the kids. I discipled a group, not disciple, well, I shared pretty much Bible study with a group of nurses in Chris Barnard. I actually forgot about that. It's many moons ago. 4 years ago, they were like open to me coming and sharing Christ and leading Bible study. And those women, most of them are from Mitchell's Plain or like difficult areas. Broken families, most of broken families. And the main thing a mother, those mothers think, are their children. The desires they have for their kids, the things that hurt them, what their kids are doing. How do I get my kids? Lord, how do we help my kids? They are falling by the wayside. Those were one of the 60-70% of our time went into kids. Their kids. Such a desire to see their kids respond. And that's the desire we need when we disciple people. Are we praying for them? Are we really wanting to see them grow like a mother? Do we have just that truth that God established that Romans 5 says that, no, that's forbidden, sorry, but the second one is a retaining scripture. Now that might be strange because the problem is during this whole fire or last year, Ronald and Yvonne, they were still here, we and I made a commitment that we are going to memorize scripture. We're going to each week, and I have the same with Tia now, each week we're going to memorize a scripture and just let truth be established in our heart. And I believe that was the key thing that changed my heart towards Christ, that made me be at a place at the end of last year to say, to hear from God that I was called to go into ministry. That is without a doubt the most important thing. Scripture. Retaining scripture. Letting that determine my thoughts. Letting that determine who and what I am. Scripture is there to guide that which I do not know, that's what I doubt. Scripture will conform you to follow Him. It says, Romans 12 says, but don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are in need of transformation. I think that's one of the key things. Like when I see Anya being able to do something from which she couldn't, there's a transformation happening when Anya can say a word that wasn't there yesterday. It changed. So she changed. And that is what God wants for us. But Scripture does that. And that knowledge and know and power. The Sadducees came to Jesus and they wanted to tempt Him. And Jesus told them, you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God. Both, they are inclusive of each other. Applying Scripture will help you see the power of God. The third one is to invest. When I go on these safaris over lunchtime, the people that I meet, I don't just leave them. It's not just a meet and greet. This is not like a 10-minute date thing. Like each one of them, I want to know who they are, what I can pray for, and then I have expectation to see them again. I've met so many people, but it's easy. And the reason why I want to invest in them is because I'm trusting God for the very things that they are saying they're struggling with. Like Ibrahim, it's a guy that has got TB and AIDS, no home. He's got a brother, though, that looks after him. But he was willing to respond to God's goodness. And Barnele is like a guy whose wife left, or he cheated on his wife, and now his daughter is in Pretoria, and he's got a broken relationship with his daughter. But that impacted her life. And I really prayed for him. You need to connect with your daughter again. Like, all of these guys are just like little reminders on my phone. I want to invest in them. I want to pray for them. And that is when it comes to discipleship, Brett, he needed to see my life. I needed to sit and speak to him about the books of Enoch. A lot of nonsense with regards to the Apocrypha books and dabbling in magic. There's a lot of stuff, but he needed to be open. I needed to be open to his life. Whatever he believes with regards to his sexuality, his mother, I need to be open to receive those things. I can't come with an agenda to push Christ if I'm not willing to meet this person. Am I willing to invest? My brother came to me last year and he said, Pietri, this whole two kids and a work and a life thing, how is this? How do you get it? How do you do it and still have a relationship with Christ? I said, well, come. I'll show you how I don't do it. Because I don't get it right, but he saw something that was fragrant to him of Christ. And I invited him in. And we prayed together and we cried together. And just yesterday I could baptize my brother. I want the same for my mother and my father and my sister. And my sister's husband. He must come to Christ. But that's another thing. But that's my heart. I mean, I want to invest. And then I have a wife. Like, that's why I need community. My wife tells me now, Pietri, that guy that you wants to come to Christ, he needs people. He needs face time. I can't just pray for him. I need to spend time with him. I need to be invested in the people that I want to disciple. Disciple is not a long race. Jesus said, or they said, Jesus came to become flesh. God discipled man by first becoming flesh. He knew me. He knew us. He dwelt amongst us, became flesh. And we need to do that for the ones we disciple. That's why our transfer, or that which we transfer to our kids, is so simple. We live with them. We incarnate ourselves into them. It gets transferred. Not even just by words, by our actions. And the fourth one is a vision. By far, the most important thing when you speak to somebody is knowing what does God say about that person. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead, and we win. Okay, now I need to remember my scripture. I'm not going to remember this now. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know our dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belongs to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belongs to us and our children forever, so we will follow all the words of this law. It speaks about what God shows us, we impart and we teach that to our kids. What does God say about Pietri? He needed to take me to MTP to show me who I really was. What are the building blocks of Pietri? Servant, worshiper, teacher. He needed to show me that because I didn't know. And when somebody says something, especially when it comes to discussions, when people lose their focus with regards to what Christ is, because we can soon get distracted or what they say, no, wait, they are too far lost. We can't help them. It's important to keep the vision that God has for them, for a future and a hope. Like they are at MTP, there's this one guy, I believe he's a developer. He might think he's a pastor, but God showed me clearly this man, and every time I see him, I tell him, you are a developer. Whether he believes or not, that doesn't matter. Elaine, when she sleeps, I tell her, you are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. Whether she hears it, understands, it doesn't matter. I speak truth. What we do, what we say towards that points towards hope is what will keep them focused. Because we all have issues. The reason I apply discipline the way is because I'm broken in a certain sense because of what my parents did. Like I work on compliance. I first work on a yes. I'll first get the yes, and then we go forward. My wife is, well, I'll help you with yes. But we are all broken in certain ways. None of us are perfect. But when we keep our eyes on what God says about us, then we can move towards Him. Then we won't be so distracted by our own sin, because Christ is the one that restores us completely. And then the last one is Esther. Who knows the story of Esther? Okay. The main thing Esther did, or the thing that she asked the people to do, or to intercede for her, is to go to the king without being summoned. That is my focus, our focus, when we disciple people. My brother, whoever I disciple, must be able to approach the king themselves. It is not my job. I am not Christ, and therefore we point towards something. Esther is the main goal. They need to approach Christ themselves, going to the king. There is a call. The invitation is already there. That's part of the vision. Are you opening their eyes that there is a call, that there is an invitation, that they can go to Christ?
Okay. Demi, can you just... I just want to... Let me go into just a few areas where I want to ask you guys to respond to. I think one of the key areas with regards to being disciple or making disciples is knowing that it's God's word. It is not, you might think it's, I need to do it, I don't know if I want to do it. This is not a principle. God asks you to go. But he's not an unjust God. He knows the requirements for your learnership. Your learner's license is necessary. We first need to be obedient. We need to know, are we worshiping this God, or are we coming to Him with our own agenda? And then have we seen the fruit of a life where we have confidence in what He has taught us? So can you please stand with me? Just with our eyes closed.
Is there anybody here who just who feels they are not able to make disciples, who's ill-equipped? Is there anybody here who feels they are ill-equipped to deal with, to be a disciple maker? Just raise your hand. Thank you, God, that with those hands raised and mine as well, Lord. God, we are all in need, Lord, of equipping. But God, we believe you, Lord. We believe that you've sent us, Lord, and we want to come to that mountain, Lord, where you've asked us to go, Lord, in obedience. So we pray, Lord, that our obedience be our first call, God. And let and Lord, let our doubt, Lord, not distract us or our work from a place of worship, Lord. So that, Lord, that when we feel that we are not equipped, God, you can say, look, I have dealt with you. I have equipped you in these past years. Just with regards to, I think most of us do serve God, but in that place of obtaining your learner's license, I think that's actually the key thing. Who wants to obtain their learner license from God? Who wants that? Just raise your hand. Amen. Thank you, God, though, that you respond, Lord, first, God. And Lord, when you saw those hands, God, it's your children, Lord, coming to you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are the good Father that runs towards us, Lord. Saying, I will teach you. I will show you, Lord. And Lord, as those hands go up, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will grow in obedience, Lord. God, give them a task, Lord. Let that next thing that you ask of them be very clear, God. That they can walk in obedience, Lord. Lord, let that place of growing in confidence, Lord, be visible, Lord, as they apply Scripture, Lord. As they grow, Lord, in being taught by you, Lord, through your word, God. And Lord, then I pray, Lord, that those of us, Lord, who are parents, Lord, as well, as specifically those who are parents, Lord, who are discipling the next generation, Lord. God, help us drive, Lord. Who here wants to drive as a parent? Yes, Lord. God, give us the desire, Lord, to want to see the good things, Lord. Lord, I'm just so often, Lord, does anger minister to me, Lord, when my kids doesn't want to listen, Lord. But God, let my eyes be fixed on you, Lord. Not this little thing, Lord, that is bothering me at the moment. Lord, let us read Scripture, Lord. Retain the Scripture, Lord, of who you say these kids are, Lord.
so that we can speak it over them, Lord, and wash them with the word, Lord. Thank you, God, that the time that we invest is not in vain, but keep, make our eyes open, Lord, to those areas where we are lackadaisical, Lord. Lord, where we just rather sit in front of the TV, Lord. And Lord, it's so clear again, Lord, in our house, Lord, where my wife said that our kids' ball skills are not up to standard, Lord. Lord, that's my responsibility, God. God, show us these areas, Lord, where we can invest more time, Lord. And give us vision, Lord. Vision for our kids. Vision for where they are going one day, Lord. How to equip them. How to pray for them. How to guide them, Lord, that they are fully equipped and ready, Lord. And God, help us establish that truth, Lord, of approaching the King, God. Thank you, Lord, that you come into our hearts, Lord, and make the word truth, Lord, or make the truth visible, God. We respond this morning to you, and we thank you, Lord, that as we obey you, Lord, and we worship you, God, you will send us, Lord. But, Lord, not before that, God. Let us always remember how the disciples were sent. Amen. If there's anybody who would like to chat with me afterwards, I'm here for ministry.